This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Top Fungicide from Syngenta for soybean growers who need proven protection under the toughest conditions. Turnaround Tuesday is in high gear so far this morning. But before we focus on market volatility and what's causing it, we're getting a report from down south. No, further south. Keep going. There you go. We're getting a report from what's happening south of the equator.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll talk with Tim Barak. Then it's Chief Economist from Farm Bureau, Dr. John Newton. And right after the news, Annalisa Laca joins us from Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. We've got the Dow up 325 points.
Really?
That is well off the highs. We need to mention that it is well off the highs, but at least we've got the thing pointed back to the upside. Some strength going in corn, soybeans. We've gotten back about half of what we lost in the soybean market, more than what we lost in the corn market. And wheat futures, yeah, I'll be darned. I kind of figured if corn and soybeans were working to the upside, maybe wheat would be the renegade again and try to trade lower.
Yeah.
But no, we've got a little bit of strength going in wheat, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid that these markets were just going to go down forever. Like we're headed straight for zero.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But wheat says no. Wheat That's says right. no.
That's right. That's right. So, and wheat will lead us home.
Oh, boy. Careful
cattle,
with that.
Yeah. Feeder cattle.
Yeah.
Yesterday traded limit down, $4.50 lower.
Yeah.
At one point, which means that that the expanded limits are in place for today.
That's right. $6.75, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. $6.75 is the limit move in feeder cattle today. And at one point, the calf market was using the expanded limit in an upside recovery.
Whoa.
They were trading more than $4.50 higher. Now, we backed off of those highs, and live cattle were trading limit up. They were up the $3 daily limit at one point. They backed off the highs a bit, but they are still trading sharply higher as well. So crazy kind of activity, and lean hog sharply higher in today's market. Crazy activity. And a lot of it has to do with just trying to figure out what impact coronavirus is going to have on global economies, and we're going to talk with John Newton about that. John is the American Farm Bureau Federation economist, and then Tim Barak is fresh back from Brazil. And Tim is an Iowa farmer, but he offered up to share some of his observations from what he had down in Brazil. And you guys know Tim. He's been on the Farmer Forum. He's been part of the free for all in the past. And
he's going to come on
and give us an update. Yeah.
Great.
All right, buddy. What's in the news?
Well, Chip, the Trump administration and Congress are mulling a plan to address the economic impacts of the coronavirus on American workers with a potential payroll tax cut. Trump told reporters the measures would be, quote, very major and would keep people from missing paychecks as a result of the disease. The measure could also include loans for small businesses. Some on the Hill favor a targeted approach, while others are backing the broader payroll tax cut. However, Chip, the broad payroll tax cut could account for as much as 4% of U.S. GDP. The U.S. Federal Reserve, along with other government agencies, issued a statement yesterday encouraging financial institutions to, quote, meet the needs of customers and members affected by the coronavirus. Chip, I'm just going to throw in a little bit of perspective here. Globally, more than 114,000 have been infected with the novel coronavirus, 114,000, with over 4,000 people having died. That's according to Reuters. According to the Centers for Disease Control, between 20 and 52,000 Americans have died from the flu since October 1, 2019. Chip.
Really? Wow.
Where's my payroll tax cut for the flu? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm sorry, man.
I'm expositing now.
Well, and some, we're getting closer to holding some of these sporting events without an audience, without a crowd.
That's
how people are reacting to this.
I just can't take it.
And I guess, I mean, I'm no expert on this, but I guess, you know, an abundance of caution is the right answer. Okay, go ahead.
Chinese President Xi Jinping reportedly visited Wuhan, where the coronavirus is believed to have originated. The city has now closed 14 makeshift hospitals that were opened to treat coronavirus victims. Officials in China say they are ready to allow more people to return to work. China's Ministry of Ag and Rural Affairs says it expects 2019-20 imports of soybeans at 87.68 million tons. That's steady with February, saying the nation expects to bring in more U.S. beans in the coming year. The U.S. Energy Information says it expects slowing growth for biofuels through 2050, with economic and policy factors cited as the main reasons for the expectation. EIA also said it expects biodiesel production to rise 30,000 barrels per day from 2019. In their high oil price scenario, EIA said domestic biofuels consumption increases to 1.62 million barrels per day. That's a 13.5% biofuels share in 2050. And six states will head to the polls today as former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders continue to battle for the Democratic nomination. And after a buildup to counter Iran, U.S. troops have begun leaving the Mideast. About 1,000 combat troops sent to Kuwait after the January 3 strike that killed Iranian Major General Qasem Soleimani have left the region over the past 2 weeks. And finally, the U.S. Federal Open Market Committee meeting will be held next week, and investors expect the Fed to cut rates once again at the confab, if not before. Investors are anxious for direction from the Fed, which may announce new actions to keep the markets functioning. Chip.
Okay, I got something that I'm going to have to share with you before too long.
I can't wait.
It's an update on the sporting events out there.
Oh, fantastic.
Joe Gill is up at KASM in Minnesota. He says the Minnesota Timberwolves have been holding games without a crowd for some time now. That's what a 19-44 record will do for you. Annalisa Laca, editor of Farm Journal Milk. Annalisa, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chip?
Good, good, good. So we always talk about the impact of plant-based, quote-unquote, milks on fluid milk demand. But there's another, the lactose-free milk consumption is actually doing pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. So in 2019, lactose-free sales grew twice as fast as plant-based beverages. So it's super encouraging that, innovation, and that's one of the things that we continue to see improving in the dairy industry. And one of the things that dairy leaders continue, to push processors to do is to innovate and to come up with new products. And lactose-free milk is a great example of that.
Yeah. And we continue to look for that silver bullet, I guess, on the fluid milk side, that's going to bring increased consumption, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think, one of the things that the National Milk Producers Federation is saying related to lactose-free milk is that this year it could outpace sales of plant-based milk entirely. So not just the growth outpacing the growth of plant-based, but total sales outpacing total sales of plant-based. And when you think about lactose-free milk, it's not just lactate, which is what I think we, think about in our minds, but also Fairlife.
That's right. That's exactly right. Okay, very cool, Annalisa. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. That is Annalisa Laca. She is the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. All right, when we come back, we're going south, way south. Tim Burrock with a report on what he observed down in the Amazon in Mato Grosso. That's next on AgriTalk. Let's have a conversation now with Trip Walker. He is an agronomy service rep for Syngenta. And Trip, when growing conditions are favorable for disease development, soybeans can be at risk for diseases that can severely impact yield. Frog eye leaf spot, target spot, powdery mildew. It's no secret that last year the season was less than ideal. So with the weather and the disease impact in 2019, what could it mean for the 2020 season?
You bring up a really good point. 2019 was, a really challenging year environmentally, probably one of the worst I've seen in my professional career. And really just from the standpoint of the amount of rainfall we got and how the crop was really severely delayed in being able to physically plant the crop. Typically, April and May are kind of our window to get, you know, optimum yields in planting. And we were basically planting the crop almost most of it was in May and June. So we were delayed quite a bit. Of course, when you do that, when you push the crop back further into the season, then you certainly get into where you diseases are going to become more prevalent. They're going to become worse as the season wears on. We didn't have an opportunity to do field work in some cases, so you got a lot of crop residue out there that you weren't able to use tillage to reduce. So again, you got a lot of potential for disease being able to develop in a situation like that. Of course, again, Miravis Top is a product that it gives us a tool to help growers manage that and produce, you know, plants that are not as stressed.
Thanks, Tripp. That was Tripp Walker, Agronomy Service Representative for Syngenta.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Precision Planting knows you want your plants to have the most consistent emergence possible this season because delayed emergence means yield loss. In order to do that, you need to know the cause of erratic emergence. We understand this can be difficult, which is why Precision Planting has researched over 10 million individual plants across the country to determine the causes of erratic emergence. What Precision Planting learned was that in order to achieve consistent emergence, you need to clear residue, maintain depth, eliminate compaction, sense soil moisture, firm seed, and close the furrow with no evidence the planter was ever there. How do you get all these things right during the planting pass? That's what the Precision Planting Emergence System was designed for. Contact a Precision Planting dealer today to add the Precision Planting Emergence System to your planter or visit precisionplanting.com/emergence to learn more. Make 2020 a year that your fields have consistent emergence of every plant, leading to a high yield potential. Avoid the revenue loss and regret that comes with erratic emergence and instead be proud of your stands.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AmVac, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AmVac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture, and is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Yes.
The recovery continues. I mean, we're holding up in the grain and the livestock trade, and the Dow's doing okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep tabs of that. Plus, guys, we've got a supply and demand report coming up at 11 o'clock Central Time this morning from USDA. Give us an update on the balance sheets for the grains and the meat markets as well. So there could be some positioning going on heading into those reports as well. All right, let's have a conversation now with Tim Burak. He is an Iowa farmer, joins us right now. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning. So You are fresh back from Brazil. You participated in a Farm Bureau study tour down there. First off, it's not your first trip to Brazil, but this Farm Bureau study tour, I guess I'm familiar with them. I've just never participated in one. How'd you get involved in that?
Well, when you read the spokesman and they said that they were going to have a study trip to Brazil, they said, send in your application.
Yep.
You know, I did. And I was fortunate enough, and I want to thank them for selecting me. And it was a great trip, you know, but it wasn't. And then it was enlightening and great, but very depressing. So
okay.
That's what we're going to talk about, Chip. I hate to bring bad news in a month, in a week, in a day of more bad news, but it's a reality that's taking place that we need to be aware of.
Okay. Well, let's get into this. And you and I have talked about this before, because like I said, it's not your first trip to Brazil, and you've seen some of the expansion that is taking place down there and what it looks like firsthand. It sounds like you're going to be talking about more of that in the Amazon area.
Yeah, this was actually my fourth trip in 20 years. And the first one was 1999. And, you know, and then at that time we could see the potential. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we started talking about it, and that was Marsha Taylor's top producer trip.
Yeah.
But we'll just start with this trip. We started with Cargill at Santa Rama on the Amazon. And they were gracious enough to give us a tour of their facility. And they're loading 80 Panamax vessels a year. It's all brought to them by barges on the Madeira and Tapajós rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is that they're expanding the barge fleets. They're adding ports on the rivers. And starting this year, they started backhauling fertilizer. So they're bringing beans up, and anew, now they're taking back fertilizer. And
okay.
Cargill said that they bought land on both the rivers and at around Baleem. They want to build another export port.
Okay.
This one was started in 2003, and they've got their maxed out here. So they think in 5 to 7 years, they'll be able to have more another export system built.
Okay.
So
how far inland is that, Tim?
So that would be like loading a Panamax vessel at Davenport, Iowa.
Oh.
And that's the stunning thing we don't understand.
Jeez.
So if you could bring a Panamax, which is, you know, they're loading 50 to 55,000 tons of soybeans, you know, roughly 2 million bushels are putting on a ship there at those locations. But just think about that, Chip, coming up to Davenport, Iowa with a
yeah.
Panamax. And if you want to move on, you know, there's other Panamax vessels at Manaus, which would be like going to Minneapolis.
Oh, my goodness.
That, you know, we've talked about this before. The Amazon River is such an incredible river with so much water, and they have a natural ability here that we don't have, and that's why we pushed for years on locks and dams and
right.
haven't got much done yet there on the Mississippi. But
right.
Brazil doesn't need that stuff, and they are continuing to grow.
Okay. So you said that they're taking getting a lot of the beans, or I shouldn't say a lot, they're getting more beans to those river ports by way of barge. Has that become the predominant way of getting beans to those ports, or are they still coming up the highway?
They said that 95% of their beans come by the barges.
Wow.
Now, the highway is completed. On November 29th of 2019, the highway was finally paved, BR-163. So it does run from Santa Rim all the way down to Cuiabá, the capital of Mato Grosso, probably further. But they still recognize the river. And then they talked about railroads. They hope to have a couple railroads built in the next 5 to 7 years. We've heard about that for some time. But I actually think they're going to get something done. And we wanted to know about Chinese investment. And they said, yes, the Chinese would like to come in and build. In the northern part of the country, they said, we little leery about that. They said, why don't you guys come down here and build a railroad? Well, we're not going to do that, I hope. And when you get to Central, and we'll get into this when we get into Mato Grosso, because we're, you know, those folks didn't care who built the railroad. They just want the railroad. So.
Right.
They're hoping that they have that in 5 to 7 years of river.
Okay. All right.
Which knocks another 50 cents a bushel off their transportation cost.
Yep. I was just going to go there. It's becoming, if it's not an advantage, infrastructure and transportation is becoming an advantage for the Brazilian producers. And this is just more evidence of it. What else from the Amazon, or do you want to get down into Mato Grosso?
Well, how much time am I on your show today?
Well, you got another 5 minutes here, bud.
Okay. So we moved from there to CNOP, which is the beginning in Mato Grosso of the major expansions. And we moved on down BR-163, CNOP, Cerezo, Lucos, Rio de Verde. So let's talk about that whole area. All of these communities have just been started basically in the last 50 years. They vary from 90 to 60,000 people, and which, you know, just popped up 50 years ago. They were just dirt roads. Right. So here we've got all these vibrant new facilities, new buildings, houses, apartments, everything built upon agriculture and continuing to grow. And why is that? So we visited the farms. We were on from 7 to 35,000 hectare farms. And they're vibrant, they're expanding, they're growing. And I think the first thing that stunned the group is that when we drive down this highway, you would see 1 to 5,000 acre fields of the most beautiful corn and cotton fields. And their crop, the second crop, looks fantastic. The soybeans were harvested. We saw planters planting corn, and we saw corn shoulder high, and the cotton looks great. They have a great safrina crop coming. Jeez. So if it keeps raining, they're going to have corn this summer. And what are they doing with that corn?
They're
making corn ethanol out of it. And we went to the corn ethanol plant at Lucas, but we saw several more under construction, some already running. There's a Paraguay Brazilian partnership that's building some. And here's what we learned about this. And this is what makes it so very interesting. You know, they don't have petroleum, but they burn this eucalyptus wood. So they're starting a whole new industry of burning eucalyptus to fire these corn ethanol plants.
Yep.
And what does that mean? That means that they have the lowest carbon score in the world when it comes to liquid energy. So they're down below 20, and we can't compete with that here. So anybody that pays attention to carbon scores needs to pay attention to this. And here's something new that was really surprising to all of us is because of the vast expansion of these corn ethanol plants, they're making all this DDGS. So suddenly, what are they going to do with this? And they're building 20,000 head feedlots all over to use this DDGS along with all this additional cotton seed, cotton hulls. They've got all this feed because they're growing all of this expansion in cotton and corn. So now they're expanding these feedlots. And that's new because they've always just sold the grass-fed cattle. And what does that mean to us, Chip?
Once they
start pulling these cattle off this grass 3 to 6 months earlier, suddenly they don't need as much pasture as they've needed because they've started a whole new feedlot industry.
And that's going to be more beans.
A lot more meat. Yes. More row crops and more and higher quality meat on the world market.
Tim, this was not enough time. This wasn't even close to enough time, and we're going to have to get you back on and hear more about your trip. Hopefully we can get you back on here sometime again this week so that we can continue the conversation. Thanks, buddy, and we'll talk with you again real soon. That's Tim Burak.
Bye-bye.
Wow, the expansion down there. Crazy. Okay, we'll be back with more.
March Madness is here, and Farm Journal is joining in on the fun with its first ever Bracket Busters Challenge. Head to agweb.com on the evening of March 15th, that's Selection Sunday, and make your picks. Entries close when the first game starts on Thursday the 19th. The top three brackets will win Amazon gift cards.
A little cold weather never hurt anybody, but with typical number two diesel, it can do a number on your field equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. That's how Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Seasonally Enhanced optimizes cold weather performance. Or stick with your fair weather friend, typical number two. Your choice. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Weeds want to restrict your freedom and crush the spirit of your crops. Never fear. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of superior weed control is here with Liberty Herbicide. Stand proud with greater application flexibility, unmatched convenience, and excellent performance combined with the Liberty Link, Liberty Link GT27, and Enlist trait systems. And it has no known resistance in U.S. row crops. Talk with your BASF rep or authorized retailer about Liberty Herbicide. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, I was going to say maybe the most impressive market performance so far today is in the live cattle and feeder cattle markets. But that's about to be tested, I think, because the Dow just turned negative. This could turn into another crazy day.
We were trading limit up in live cattle, and the feeders, they have expanded limits today. We could see some pretty wild price action depending on what happens in the stock market. So it looked like early on that it was just going to be the reverse of yesterday with stocks up, yeah. Crude oil up, and the commodities that were pressured yesterday being higher today. But now it looks like you said, that may be tested. We'll see where it goes from here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We may be seeing some position evening in the grain markets ahead of the supply and demand report.
Yeah, possibly. I don't anticipate there'll be a whole lot of movement in these reports, to be honest with you. USDA kind of gave us the blueprint in February that with the China and the phase one stuff, where they didn't do a whole lot. They didn't factor a whole lot in. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of coronavirus stuff factored in this month. Probably not a whole lot of China phase one either, because, you look at the markets that they, or the commodities they bought, and it's soybeans and a little bit there, sorghum, pork more so. So I think it's probably pork and sorghum that could see export increases.
Gotcha. Yeah, USDA has indicated that they're going to be a follower of the event rather than trying to predict on the phase one stuff. Brian, we'll talk to you again soon. That's Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Yeah, the Dow is jockeying around between 50 and 75 points lower. Volatility is back and is ramping up in the equities trade again. I don't think there's any question about that. Let's talk about the economy and the volatility that we've been seeing in this grain trade and the equities trade and the currency trade and everywhere else. We've got John Newton. John is the economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. John, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. We've got all the bosses in town this week for AFBF board meeting. So there's about 50 state presidents or 30 or 40, 50 state presidents here. So a wow. Busy week here at Farm Bureau.
Yeah. What's your message to them, John?
Well, after yesterday, it was a pretty hard day. I think, you know, the optimism that we saw this morning, as you just indicated, is quickly fading. So, you know, I think all eyes obviously are on the trade front. I think folks want to see products start moving. You know, the soybean export's been pretty dismal. I think everybody's a little excited about grain, sorghum, and pork, but you know, the bottom fell out of the cattle markets. We need to see that recover. And then, you know, quite frankly, I think there's some concern over what this coronavirus could do to U.S. economic performance this year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. And it seems like the White House is trying to get out in front of the potential economic impact. I mean, there's talk about a break from income taxes or something going on. John, have you heard this conversation now?
Yeah, so there's been conversation about an income tax, payroll tax break, and then some stimulus for folks that have hourly jobs, because those are going to be the jobs that are most impacted if the U.S. economy ultimately hits hiccups. You think about the restaurant sector. If people aren't traveling to conferences, they're not on airplanes, they're not at restaurants eating steak, and they're not, you know, so those hourly jobs are definitely impacted. We saw the administration move to get ahead of this, you know, a week ago when the Fed cut rates. So they're doing a number of things to try to stay ahead of this and keep that economic engine that we've been the beneficiaries of for a number of years now rolling. But I think the headwinds we have in front of us are very, very real.
Yeah, John, it was the Fed move to cut interest rates outside of the FOMC meeting that got me thinking about getting you back on AgriTalk. What was your reaction to that when the Fed did that?
Well, I think the president kind of signaled the night before that he was hoping the Fed would cut rates to get ahead of any potential headwinds related to the coronavirus. But when you think about agriculture, it presents an opportunity for farmers out there to take advantage of these lower rates, try to refinance, save a little bit of money. We already knew that interest expenses were going to come down in 2020. USDA had them coming down about $1.5 billion in 2020 relative to last year. So this refinance opportunity could potentially even bring that down a little bit more. And one indicator of the demand out there for loans, that's a little bit different, but on the real estate side, February demand for refinancing was up 300%. So I think a lot of folks are trying to take advantage of those lower rates.
Yeah, there's some anecdotal reports that if you call some of those banks right now, they're saying we're not even putting you on a list for refinancing because they're so busy. It's crazy.
That's exactly what they're doing. What they're doing, they're trying to throttle the demand. And so another good indicator of that are jumbo loans, home mortgage loans. And even though, you know, everybody and their mother knows rates have come down, that 10-year treasuries are coming down, those jumbo loan rates are actually going up. And it's because they want to throttle the demand for people seeking new loans or seeking to refinance. And so I think it defies logic when you talk to folks in the lending space, but that's exactly what they're doing.
Okay. So the 10-year note yesterday, it was as low as 0.32, something like that, the yield on the 10-year note. The 30-year bond yield was under 1%. John, does this make sense? And what is it telling us?
Well, I think the bigger concern is I think of these things as kind of a shock absorber.
Okay.
You know, if we hit a really rough patch, which we're kind of touching on now, but with rates this low, we don't have a whole lot of wiggle room to really stimulate the economy by going to even lower rates. And so I think that's the bigger concern is when you approach these low rates or even negative interest rates, you have no shock absorbers left to turn this recovery around. I think that's probably one reason why they're looking at some non-traditional ways to stimulate the economy through the payroll tax and then folks with hourly jobs, because they don't have much room left on the interest rate front.
Right, right. Yeah, okay, the Dow is 150 points lower now, just to give you a quick update there. Have the headlines been accurate, John? I mean, is the volatility in the Treasury and the currencies and the equities and the commodities, is it out of fear of the coronavirus?
You know, I think yesterday we had, you know, major storylines in the oil space as well. So,
yeah.
You know, the market tends to be a little bit emotional. And I think we triggered a circuit breaker yesterday where we paused the market for 15 minutes. We haven't done that since the 70s. So it's very real. I tend to think it also probably coincides a little bit with, you know, the rise in automated and high-frequency trading. And in conversations with folks over at the CFTC, we've said, look, we need to rewrite the rules on how we're trading commodities, too, because we don't want a flash crash in agriculture when the market overreacts to this type of information. The number of cases in China have slowed down. They've accelerated outside of China, but the market's still reacting very negatively to this news. I think once it warms up, this market's going to correct and get back. But I think the unknown is, you know, the lag time, how much of a downward effect is this going to have on not only the U.S. economy, but the global economies?
All right. All right. So where are we on this timeline, do you think, on the coronavirus timeline?
You know, you look at, you know, the first confirmed case in China, you know, coincidentally or not, was the day we signed the Phase 1 agreement. That's when they confirmed coronavirus there. We're now about 2 months out, and the number of new cases in China has slowed considerably. You know, they didn't really start to accelerate outside of China until mid to late February. So, you know, hopefully things start to slow down, you know, in the next few weeks or so, and we can get back to normal. But the uncertainty, you know, I travel a lot for agriculture, and they're starting to cancel ag-related events around the country. Things are moving from in-person events to online events, and so I think again, there's going to be you know, some shockwaves for a few weeks as this thing gets cleared up.
Okay, what about the dollar? The dollar has been under pressure here, specifically against the euro and the dollar index, but it's not down against all the currencies. When the Brazilian real is still weak, the Russian ruble is still weak, and these are the countries that we're competing with most aggressively for grain exports, and the dollar's going down, but we're not getting a lot of benefit from it for agriculture yet, are we?
Well, Jeff, the dollar's got to go down more than a little bit to bring us back in the, you know, some sort of relationship, competitive relationship with Brazil or Russia. You look at Brazil, you take the soybean price that we have here at home, and you price it in reals. It's record high. So the incentive for them to roll, you know, as Earl Butch once said, fence row to fence row, is there when you look at what the soybean's worth to them. But what it's worth to us is, you know, we're going to see what USDA says here in a few minutes, but 875 a bushel, it's completely different incentives between the hemispheres.
Yeah, no doubt. We were just talking with Tim Burrock, who went on Farm Bureau's study travel down to Brazil, went through some of the ports there at Amazon, or on the Amazon, and down through Mato Grosso, and he said it is just high gear. It is high gear and expansion on just about all fronts right now. China, Phase 1, how are they doing with their purchases of U.S. ag goods?
You know, not too well. I think we look at the inspections data yesterday, soybean sales were well below what they've been in recent years on the weekly side. We did see January exports to China, I want to say, Chip, were somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.3, 1.6 billion. I don't have the exact number offhand. But they've got some ground to make up, even if they're going to get to USDA's $14.5 billion estimate on the fiscal year. So they need to, you know, they need to get moving to hit that target. We don't know yet what $40 billion really means, and I think that's what a lot of folks are trying to figure out. Does that mean $40 billion when you include insurance and freight, or does that mean $40 billion out of you know, our export numbers? And I think it's the latter one, Chip. So they've got a heck of a lot of ground to make up if they're going to get anywhere near $25 or $30 billion in sales in calendar year 2020. So,
are they going to try?
You know, the secretary said that they're going to try, said they'll be in the soybean market late spring to summer. That is somewhat counter-seasonally to when they really need our soybeans. But that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to be buying from us when they normally don't buy from us. And normally 75% of our exports to China happen in the fourth quarter and the first quarter.
Right.
So we've got to have a really active second and third quarter if we're going to get remotely close to any of these export targets. And, and quite frankly, I don't know how you're going to do it with what the coronavirus has done.
John, it's always good to talk with you. I hope we talk the next time we talk. I hope we're talking about a recovery in the farm economy, man. Thank you so much, John. We'll talk to you again soon. That is John Newton, the economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. When we come back, Davis and I are going to put a wrap on today's first hour. Weathering the Storm, a special report focusing on Mother Nature's potential impact on the 2020 growing season, is coming to Ag Day, U.S. Farm Report, and AgriTalk later this month. Brought to you by Pivot BioProven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that stay put, weather or not.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Where does harvest begin? At Great Plains, we believe harvest starts when your combine leaves the field. At this exact moment, your fields take on the potential to become something greater. Using sound agronomic principles, we are proud to offer you innovative, high-quality equipment to create opportunities for growth, higher yields, and success, year after year. Since 1976, our products have been built right here at home in the USA, where we've stood by farmers harvest after harvest. Create a lasting legacy on your farm. Visit GreatPlainsAg.com. Great Plains, harvest starts here.
At Brandt, we're once again breaking ground on groundbreaking technology. It's called EnzUp, and it's a revolutionary product featuring new enzyme that helps prime the soil for success at planting by boosting enzyme activity and creating a rich environment around the seed. This function helps plants emerge quickly and come out strong, which gives the crop its best chance to face what Mother Nature has in store and can increase yield up to 15%. So, don't break ground this season without the groundbreaking technology of EnzUp enzymes by Brandt. Find EnzUp at Brandt.co. Today we have Hugh Sandberg, Secretary Treasurer at Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board, to talk about what your dollar does to drive demand for beef. So, Hugh, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thank you for having me today. When we talk about sustainability, it's about more than protecting your land. It's about the beef checkoff supporting good practices so your way of life stands the test of time. Colorado State University recently found that producers who listed their BQA certification in video auctions earned a premium on average of $16.80 per head sold. And recently we found that by continuing to improve how we take care of our land, our cattle, and overall operations, today's U.S. beef producers are producing the same amount of beef with one-third less cattle than they did four decades ago. It just goes to show when we are good stewards of the land takes care of us.
Thank you for joining us. To find out more about what Your Dollar Does for the beef industry, visit YourDollarDoes.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
I'm Andrew McRae, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, a farmer-focused podcast important to agriculture. It's brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Visit pivotbio.com to find a representative near you.
Welcome back to Ag Talk. And Davis?
Yes?
Late in the conversation there with John Newton from AFPF, mm-hmm. I said that the Dow was 150 points lower.
Uh-huh.
And 150 is still the change, but the direction is reversed.
Okay.
We're now 150 points higher. It's rallied so 300 points in a matter of no time.
Yeah, 300-point swing in, what, like 5 or 6 minutes?
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, it feels like more get used to that. It's just the volatility is absolutely unbelievable. With what is going on in this market right now, it's got to be chewing people up.
Volatility, opportunity will arise.
Will it? I sure hope you're right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I gotta send a shout out real quick.
Yep.
I just got an email. Dave is listening. I'm not sure where he's from, but Dave says, you need to get that guy from the Brazil tour back on ASAP. Don't leave us hanging,
yeah.
He says. Tim Barak. Man, yep. We did not leave enough time for that guy today.
No.
We need more.
No. Yes, absolutely we do. Absolutely we need some more time with Tim. We're working on that.
Yeah.
And we will get him back on. There's no question about that. So I was looking at Pro Farmer's First Thing today, and I went back to it now because of the conversation that we had with John Newton. About China, and are they going to be making the ag purchases as promised in phase one? What I wanted to go back and look at was their CPI, the Consumer Price Index.
Okay.
It's up 5.2% over a year ago in February. And again, this is from Pro Farmer's First Thing today. 5.2% over a year ago in February. That was a 0.2-point decline in the increase from January. Okay.
Okay.
Now, non-food prices rose just 0.9%.
Yeah.
Transport and communication prices were down from year ago levels.
Mm-hmm.
Food prices.
Here you go. Look out. Look out.
21.9% from year ago in February. The biggest jump since April of 2008. Pork prices. Pork prices in China up 135.2% versus year ago. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The producer price index, obviously different than the consumer price index, but the producer price index in China fell 0.4% from year ago. That's putting the Chinese economy in February into deflationary territory. You don't talk about deflation in China. It's astonishing what is happening. Now, why in the heck with 135.2% increase in February. And you know, February was a tough month for pork imports into China because they were dealing with coronavirus and people weren't showing up for work. And then they basically shut the economy down for a period of time. So that is obviously an issue, but boy, now that they've got, now that they are getting the people in the country back to work and those ports operational again, I would think that we would be draining our cold storage out on the West Coast in a hurry.
Yes. Yes.
Unbelievable. Coming up in just a few minutes, 5.5 minutes to be exact, we've got the March supply and demand report coming your way.
Yeah.
Let's go through some of the expectations here to get everybody ready.
Good idea. Good
idea. For the corn carryover estimate for the 2019-20 marketing year, the average trade guess is – this is according to Reuters, a survey that Reuters did. The average trade guess on corn carryover, 1.888 billion bushels. That would be down very slightly from the 1.892 billion bushels that we got from USDA in February. For soybeans, the
Hold on real quick.
Yes.
This will be fun. Ahead of the reports, currently December corn futures, I've got them at 380, even up 3.75 cents on the day.
Very good. Very good. That is a nice ad there. Thank you, Davis.
Yeah, let's do the soybeans, too, when you're done.
You bet. You
do
bet.
Your part
426 million bushels is the average trade guess. That would be up one whopping million bushels from last month.
Novi beans, 894 3/4, up 8.5 cents on the day today.
Very good. And on wheat, the average trade guess, 944 million bushels. That would be up just 4 million bushels from last month.
Okay. KC wheat down just 0.25 cents, 440 3/4. May soft red futures up 2 3/4 right now, 521.5.
All right. And on cotton, which is according to a Bloomberg survey, not Reuters, the average trade guess on cotton carryover, 5.39 million bales. That would be down 10,000 whopping bales from February.
May 20 cotton right now, 61.24, off slightly on the, or up slightly on the day, looks like.
Okay, very good.
So
we're going to get updates to the global carryover estimates as well. Not a lot of change expected there. Corn is expected to increase slightly. Soybeans, also expected increase slightly, and on the wheat side of things, up about 500,000 metric tons there. And cotton, we're expecting to see some bigger stocks there as well. A lot of it has to do with what we've talked about a couple of times today, what's going on down in Brazil.
Yep.
125 million metric ton bean crop coming. The corn crop is looking good. We heard that from Tim Burrock. There's lots of movement that could take place on the global supply and demand balance sheets. And, of course, we're going to take a close look at what they're doing to our to the pork export estimate and what kind of impact that might have on that hog market going forward.
Good deal.
All right. Hey, thanks again to Tim Burrock. That was so cool. We're going to get him back on, finish the conversation with Tim. Also, thank you to John Newton from AFBF for joining us today. Really appreciate that. You got to come back this afternoon because we've got Pro Farmers Jeff Wilson and Brian Grady here to talk about what's happening in the supply and demand report. That's this afternoon on AgriTalk.
Protect diesel engines with premium Senex lubricants. Choose SuperLube TMS, a conventional heavy-duty diesel engine oil engineered to deliver protection for new, current, and older diesel engines. SuperLube TMS protects against soot, prevents sludge deposits, and slows oil thickening. The power needed to weather long hours and heavy, dusty road conditions. The power of Senex lubricants keeps engines running like a well-oiled machine.
Senex is a brand of CHS.
When weeds get tough, AmVac answers with the power of Impact brand herbicides, proven to control key grasses and tough, glyphosate-resistant broadleaf weeds. Impact is the standard in corn safety. Impact brand herbicides, tough on weeds, not on corn. Get more information at AmVac.com/impact. AMVAC, Impact, and Impact Z are trademarks owned by AMVAC Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Always read and follow label instructions. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Miravis Top Fungicide, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.